This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli PM agrees to delay discussions on judicial overhaul at the parliament for a month as protests continue. Iran strongly condemns the desecration of the Holy Quran in Denmark, saying such measures only foment hatred, extremism and violence. Also ahead, more than 100,000 British civil and public servants are to go on strike in late April in disputes with the government over pay and work conditions. Welcome to World News. We're live from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Thank you very much for joining us. Our top story this hour, the Israeli Prime Minister has announced a pause to divisive judicial reforms moving through Parliament after months of street rallies that drew tens of thousands of protesters. Benjamin Netanyahu says he has made this decision to prevent a rupture among people. A party ally to Netanyahu says he has decided to delay the process for discussions on the reforms package to next month. Israel has been rocked by 12 consecutive weeks of street riot protests against the plan. Earlier on Monday, Israel's top trade union also announced a general strike. The reforms have also created divisions inside the cabinet itself. Netanyahu has sacked his minister for military affairs for opposing the reform plan. The Israeli president urged the cabinet to halt its plan to protect what he called the unity of people. Iran has strongly condemned the recent desecration of the Holy Quran by a group of far-right extremists in Denmark. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani censured the silence of self-proclaimed human rights advocates, saying such acts instigate hatred, extremism, and spread violence. Kanani said turning a blind eye to such sacrilegious acts is completely against international human rights principles. The spokesman said the Islamic Republic expects that Danish officials prevent the repetition of such incidents. Members of a far-right group in Denmark, dubbed the Patriots Go Live, burned a copy of the Quran on Friday in front of the Turkish embassy. The move drew strong condemnation from several Muslim countries. Millions of people took to the streets in several Yemeni provinces on Sunday to mark the anniversary of the Saudi-led invasion of their country in 2015. Yusuf Mowry has the latest from the Yemeni capital, Sana'a.
Quranic verses and anti-Israeli and U.S. slogans rang high in this year's National Day of Resilience demonstration in the capital, Sana'a, where protesters celebrated what they called 9 years of successful resistance against the Saudi-led war, which began back in March 26, 2015. Yemen's Supreme Political Council leader, Mohammed Ali al-Houthi, who was present at the demonstration, said the armed resistance against all enemies of Yemen will continue until every inch of Yemeni land is liberated from foreign presence.
We must protect our resistance effort and continue to counter this enemy. We must march forward together and confront this enemy. We must focus more on the battlefront and prepare for it now more than ever before. We must support our Ministry of Defense, which is equipped with men who have the hearts of lions, men who will teach the enemy a lesson they will never forget.
When Saudi Arabia launched its war back in 2015, it said it would destroy all heavy weapons possessed by Ansar Allah and force them to withdraw from the Yemeni capital. What has happened, however, is quite the opposite. The Ansar Allah movement has managed to win the battle across the board, developing sophisticated weapons and taking over more territory. they've also managed to win the hearts and minds of the majority of the people in the north.
We have been at war for 9 years, and we will continue to go to war for another 90 years if we must. We will never surrender, no matter how much they bomb. Our faith is in Allah, and it will never be shaken.
We came out in this huge protest to send a message to the Saudi-led coalition that we will remain resilient and we will never betray our cause, even if they add another 9 years to the previous 9 years of war. With our military of believers in Allah, we are coming for you. We are coming with our ballistic missile.
According to Muhammad Ali al-Houthi, if the Saudi-led coalition continues its war on Yemen, they will only witness greater losses and a bigger humiliation.
The war that was only supposed to last a few weeks has entered its ninth year. What's even more surprising is that the Yemeni army is stronger now than ever before. That's because they have developed long-range ballistic missiles and drones, which could be used if the war continues. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
Turning to France now, where nationwide strikes against the government's pension reforms are in their third week. At least 6 out of 7 refineries in the country are either shut or functioning at reduced capacity. That has caused mass travel disruptions, particularly at airports. Unions say the strike will continue until Wednesday. France has been the scene of mass protests and strikes since January. That's when President Emmanuel Macron proposed to raise the retirement age and make it more difficult for employees to claim full pensions. Public anger escalated when the government adopted the pension reforms bill without a parliament vote. Macron says the bill will come into force by the end of the year, arguing that the changes are necessary to prevent the pension system from collapse. Opponents say the overhaul is extremely unfair. Meanwhile, in the UK, industrial action by civil and public servants is set to continue for a month, culminating in an all-out strike by 133,000 workers on April 28. The Public and Commercial Services Union says its members want to increase the pressure on the government and are not backing down. They are mainly protesting over their pay, but other bones of contention include pensions, redundancy terms, and job security. The UK has seen a wave of strikes across various public sectors in recent months, with workers demanding inflation matching pay rises amid a cost of living crisis. The country's inflation hit a 40-year high of more than 11% in October. The government says big pay hikes are unaffordable and will only fuel inflation. Meanwhile, staying in the UK, where the Scottish National Party has elected Humza Yousaf to be the country's next leader. He is the first Muslim to lead a major UK party. Yousaf vowed to deliver independence from the United Kingdom and reunite Scotland with the EU. Earlier, we discussed the matter in our News Review programme.
Welcome to another edition of the News Review. In this edition, the ruling Scottish National Party has elected Health Minister Humza Yousaf to be the country's next leader. He has vowed to deliver Scottish independence from the United Kingdom.
Leadership elections, by their very nature, can be bruising. However, in the SNP, we are a family. Over the last 5 weeks, we may have been competitors or supporters of different candidates. We are no longer Team Humza or Team Ash or Team Kate. We are one team, and we will be the team. We will be the generation that delivers independence for Scotland.
Yousaf also promised to win over those who were opposed to a split from the United Kingdom. He said that he would reunite Scotland with the European Union. Yousaf won 52% of the party's member votes in the second round to succeed Nicola Sturgeon, who resigned unexpectedly last month. The 37-year-old is the first Muslim to lead a major UK party. He was born in Glasgow with a father from Pakistan and a mother from Kenya. He is set to be confirmed as Scotland's next First Minister in a nominal vote at the Parliament on Tuesday. The election campaign was marked by bitter personal attacks, exposing deep divisions in the SNP. For more on that, we're joined by Amina Taylor, our correspondent who's joining us live from London, and also Tony Gosling, an investigative journalist who's joining us live from Bristol. Let's begin with our very own Amina Taylor, our correspondent from London. Amina, tell us more. First of all, it seems to be quite significant to have a Muslim leading this party as the first time.
Well, it is and it isn't, if I'm going to be brutally honest with you, because Hamza Yousaf, of the three candidates for the SNP leadership contest here, was actually the most experienced just in terms of frontline politics. There were a couple of issues where his faith actually became front and center. But apart from that, I believe it was more his close list to Nicola Sturgeon, the first minister who stepped down, that actually exposed a few more question marks. I've always found, surprisingly enough, Scottish politics to be a little bit more egalitarian. But I do know now that he is in the driving seat, now that he is the man who's been given that torch to order to try and drive through Scottish independence, his ethnicity, his religion, aspects of his faith, his personal life, those elements will come to the fore with a little bit more, investigative introspection. So it's going to come up. You're going to hear perhaps folks who didn't have an interest in Scottish politics so much having something to say about the new First Minister. I believe it's a formality. He will be confirmed tomorrow. It will expose some of the racism. It will expose some of the Islamophobia. But I don't think that was front and center of Hamza Yousaf's campaign here.
Okay, so Mr. Gosling, let's bring you in and see what this campaign promise means exactly. A generation, in his own words, that will deliver Scottish independence. How likely is that to happen?
Well, it's not going to happen, and I can say that categorically. The Scottish National Party, the SNP, have got a series of serious problems. I mean, for example, having a Muslim leader is not, it's not a Muslim country. And so this doesn't really bode well for it. It probably means that the SNP are going to lose more votes. So in the leadership election, he was, the press was saying he was going to win. And of course, a lot of the polls were saying he was going to win, largely because he was a loyal devotee to the party, and the party were pushing him. But the problem is, although he was a health leader right the way through the pandemic, what we had from him was virtually nothing. All the health announcements were made by Nicola Sturgeon, so he was a kind of behind-the-scenes character. And the Scottish National Party have got an even bigger problem, and that is, if you look at the polls, including ones which happened straight after the vote for Brexit back in 2016, around about 45% of the Scots want to remain with the UK, and about 35% want to leave the UK. So the SNP is trying to push independence, which the Scottish people don't actually want. So, what you're going to get is you're going to get other parties like the Greens starting to succeed. The SNP are stuck in a rut, and they're not learning the lessons of Sturgeon. I mean, the reason she went, and by the way, it wasn't a surprise, because the SNP had been falling so badly behind in the polls, losing seats, losing control of the Holyrood Parliament. And so something had to change. Her going was completely expected. What is the whole gender recognition legislation that Sturgeon and Hamza Yousaf and actually one of the other candidates, Kate Forbes, was pushing as hard as they could. Now, this is also very unpopular amongst the Scottish people. So what we've got is a political class in Scotland, in the SNP particularly, who are just not listening to the voters. And so that's why they're not going to succeed. And they're certainly not going to succeed in independence, unless, of course, Westminster really makes a mess of things, in which case the Scots, because the Scots don't want to go back to being controlled by Brussels.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tony Gosling, investigative journalist, and our very own Amina Taylor. That was a great debate. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and views with us on this edition of the News Review.
Moving on, Russia warns that it has modern and unique weapons capable of destroying any enemy, including the United States, if its existence is threatened. The Secretary of Russia's Security Council said it is, quote, short-sighted stupidity and very dangerous if American politicians think that Moscow cannot respond to a preventive U.S. missile strike. Nikolai Patrushev, however, stressed that Russia is patient and does not intimidate anyone with its military advantage. Earlier, Patrushev also sharply criticized the Western military alliance, NATO. He said NATO is turning Ukraine into a big military camp by sending weapons and ammunition to Ukrainian troops and providing them with intelligence. Meanwhile, the Russian president says Western powers are recruiting allies across the world to build what he calls a new global axis. Vladimir Putin has compared the resemblance to that of the World War II alliance between Nazi Germany, fascist Italy, and Imperial Japan. Putin's remarks come at a time when the United States and its allies are leaving no stone unturned to maintain their global dominance by keeping their presence in almost all parts of the world. But with China and Russia standing firm against that dominant power, it seems that a new global order is not unimaginable. In other news, the United Nations says EU funding is facilitating abuses, including torture and sexual slavery against migrants in Libya. The revelation came in a report by the UN Independent Fact-Finding Mission on Libya. It said investigators found the crimes against humanity had been committed against migrants in Libya's detention centers. The report said security forces in charge of the centers received technical, logistic, and monetary support from the EU and its member states to intercept and return migrants. Now, Libya has been gripped by chaos and violence since the 2011 NATO intervention that toppled long-serving ruler Muammar Gaddafi. That has turned the North African country a preferred route for tens of thousands of migrants trying to reach Europe. And that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour, but don't go away.
Bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
God's Month. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Salam and welcome to the program. The blessed month of Ramadan is the month of taking the lead in obedience of God and competition in doing righteous deeds. The Messenger of Mercy, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, every deed has two halves.
One half is worship and another half belongs to prayer. According to this luminous word, no worship is considered as a righteous deed unless it is accompanied with prayer. Prayer and asking God is the means of taking the lead in worship and servitude. The prophet has also been narrated as saying, two persons enter paradise, while one of them notices that the other one is superior to him. He asks God, my Lord, why have you given him superiority over me, while our deeds were the same? God the Exalted answers, he used to ask me, but you didn't. He used to pray, but you didn't. All of us have committed sins and have slipped from the right path. Moreover, we won't be immune from slipping in future either. But our sins shouldn't make us lose hope in God's mercy and forgiveness, no matter how great these sins are. God says in Ayah 53 of Surah Zumar, say that Allah declares, O my servants, who have committed excess against their own souls, do not despair of Allah's mercy. Indeed, Allah will forgive all sins. Indeed, He is the All-Forgiving, the All-Merciful. If a person commits sin out of ignorance and then realizes his mistake and decides to compensate and correct his behavior, God gives good news of forgiving him. The Prophet of Islam says that Allah has said, if my servants who have turned their backs to me knew how much I wait for them and am eager to their return, they would lose life zealously. Islam has considered despairing of God's mercy as the greatest sin. How can be desperate of God's mercy while His mercy has overtaken His wrath? And the surahs of the Quran begin with the two names of Rahman, meaning the All-Compassionate, and Rahim, meaning the All-Merciful. These two words have been repeated nearly 450 times in the Quran. This makes us dare to turn to Allah, no matter how many sins we may have committed. Definitely, there is no refuge except God against our sins. So, how can we be disappointed of His mercy and forgiveness? However, Imam Reza, peace upon him, has warned us, saying, he who has repented and asked his God for pardoning and forgiveness while he is still persisting in sin and does not give up committing sin, indeed, he has ridiculed himself. Those who know God are well aware that God's mercy, munificence, and magnanimity are infinite. Thus, they never quit appealing to Him and demanding from Him. There is no need to pass courses at the faculties of theology to recognize God. It would suffice only to look at different phenomena in nature and the world. Listening to the sound of waterfalls, the blowing of wind, and chirruping of birds will open the doors of cognizance to God, to our heart and intellect. This has been manifested in the best way in Dua Iftitah, or supplication of opening or starting, where The infallible Imam says, "All praise belongs to Allah, whose kingdom is clear in creation, and his praise is manifested through magnanimity of his majesty. His hand is open in munificence, the one whose treasury will never decrease, and ample giving will not increase, but his generosity and magnanimity. Indeed, he is the invincible, the all-munificent." This has been explicated by Imam Ali, peace upon him, where he says, "I haven't seen anything except that I have seen Allah with it, in it, before it, and after it." This is quite opposite of the Western surgeon who said, "I will never believe in God until I see him lying in front of me for operation." An adamant faithless who denies God's manifest signs everywhere is like a person who denies sun and closes his eyes not to see it. In this part of the supplication, we read that the more God gives and donates, the more his generosity and magnanimity increases. To make it clear, Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "Every container becomes smaller with pouring in it, except the container of knowledge, which becomes broader with pouring in it." In other words, a student who learns 10 subjects, his mind will be ready to grasp more subjects. In the same way, when God gives some bounty, the individual's capacity increases and God will give him more.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
One of the most misunderstood concepts and the notions in Islam is the concept of jihad. Unfortunately, after the Al-Qaeda and the ISIS extremists look at the Islam, the Western media has covered jihad as a type of suicide, bombing, volunteer killing of oneself, massacre in the name of Allah and in the path of Islam. This is very unfortunate to say that jihad was defined this way. So we say this is a jihadi look, or this is a jihadi struggle, a jihadi war. This means, for example, suicide bombing or bomb attack or self-bombing or something like that, unfortunately. For today's discussion, we want to elaborate and we want to clarify what is the true meaning of jihad and how to, improve the spirit of jihad in ourselves. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen, let's start with you. How do you define the concept of jihad and jihad spirit or jihad-like spirit?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we look at the initial text or the main foundation of Islam, the text which has been provided, which is Quran,
yes,
we see that in many cases the word jihad has been used in the context of struggling. mm-hmm. because it has come from the word jihad. Jihad means to struggle,
okay.
to try to perform something. So therefore, the word jihad itself, or jihad fi sabilillah, struggle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this struggle can be achieving something. This struggle can be, you know, for the students studying properly. You know, obviously there's a struggle in it. There's a hardship in it. But it should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the person who's working in the office, he's bringing the, you know, he's earning every day. So he goes out, he struggles. And if it is in line with the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is for the sake of nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a kind of jihad. So jihad has a vaster meaning. It's not limited to the battles or the fighting, as you said. The other point is the thing that you mentioned in the beginning, that after the ISIS and all those things that happened, the wrong meaning is being, you know, given to the world. It was done purposefully by the enemies of Islam. It was a propaganda, Islamic phobia, through the name of jihad, because in the history, generally, when it is referred to the battles, because this battle is in the path of Allah.
Yes.
It is to save the Muslim world. It is to save the Muslim community. Because, you know, the battles that we see in the life of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was the self-defense.
Yes.
He never invaded any place. So he defended himself. He defended his city, the Medina, which was the capital of Islam at that time. So all those things that we see that he has done, he struggled to save Islam.
Yes.
So this was struggle. Even in the ahadith we have that you have performed the greater jihad.
Yes, jihad al-akbar.
Jihad al-akbar. You have to
yes.
do this.
Yes, yes.
After the jihad al-asghar, the smallest yes. jihad. Asghar, you know the word akbar and asghar, these are superlative form.
Yes.
Sighr is small. Asghar means smallest.
Yes.
So battling with the guns or swords and all those, this is jihad al-asghar, the yes. smallest yes. jihad. And the jihad al-akbar, the greatest jihad, is to reform yourself, to purify
combating
yourself.
Combating the self-desires yes. and the carnal desires inside is called jihad al-akbar. That's right. And I think the meaning of jihad nowadays, if it wants to be understood in a true sense of the word, has to be defined in this way.
Yes.
It is a kind of combat, as you said, or a struggle against the devilish or evilish or carnal desires inside your soul and spirit.
That's right. Because, you okay. know, when we look at the, you know, the Quranic text, jahadu fi sabilillah, for example, bi amwalikum, you need to do jihad with your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is this?
Okay.
Wealth is
to sacrifice
not
your wealth.
You need to sacrifice your wealth. Giving you need charity. To give charities. You need to boost the community. You need to help the society. You know, all these meanings are there. With your children, what does it mean? It mm-hmm. means that you need to train your children okay. with the best way.
Yes.
So that you give the best people to the community.
Okay.
You know, all these things. Bi anfus. You know, even about Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was hit, struck by yes. Ibn Muljam. He made his advice to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. And he said, alaykum al-jihad bi-alsinatikum. It is upon you to do jihad with your tongues. What does it mean? It mm-hmm. means that you need to clarify, you need to convey the true message of Islam.
Yes.
So basically, jihad itself means to struggle in the path. Now, this struggle depends on the situations.
Yes.
In which situation you are and how you are struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu okay. wa ta'ala.
Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, and some criteria are enumerated for reaching jihad. One of which, and the first of which, is ikhlas or sincerity. What does it mean exactly?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As it was rightly mentioned by our brother, that jihad, we have two types of jihad. One is in the case that, for example, Muslim people are attacked by the enemy, so they have the right to defend themselves. As all the nation across the globe, they have this right to defend themselves. This is one of the jihad that we have in Islam, that Muslims should defend, to protect themselves against the attack that the enemies attack them. So it is something that is accepted worldwide.
Okay.
And this is one of the meaning of jihad, which is a defensive jihad, protective kind of jihad, which goes to the struggling, to fighting against the enemies. But the other concept of jihad that we have in Islam is fighting against your own bad desires, willings, bad willings, evil kind of willings and desires, to sacrifice yourself, to emulate yourself for the others, for the sake of others, to give service to the other people. You know, this meaning of jihad, this concept of jihad is even, according to some of the ahadith, it is more important.
Yes.
It is more emphasized by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because in one of the occasions, the people, the Muslim Ummah, the companions of the Holy Prophet, came to the Prophet. They were very much proud of themselves because they had a victory in a jihad, in a fighting. And the Prophet said, no, it was minor jihad that you performed. Now you have to do the major jihad, to perform the major jihad. Say, okay, what is the major jihad? Says that jihad bin nafs. You have to fight against your own kind of desires and willings, that you have to control yourself. So this concept of jihad is even more important, more useful, more helpful for the Muslim society, because it encourages Muslims to give service to each other freely, even to sacrifice themselves for each other. And that's why this way, if a Muslim live by this kind of, let's say, manner, and by this sort of lifestyle, then of course, if all the people in a society think that they have to give service to each other, they have to serve the people, they have to sacrifice themselves for the others, then everyone try to sacrifice. You see how a beautiful society would have.
Yes.
How these kind of societies will get more developed, will become more advanced very soon, very quickly, because all the people try their best to contribute to the improvement,
so ikhlas means
to
this,
the advancement.
In order to be contributive to
exactly,
the people.
Okay. Exactly. That's, you know, ikhlas, when you are mukhlas, when are you mukhlas? You are mukhlas if you sincerely serve the others.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of this.
Without waiting, for example, for
exactly,
the money
to
or
be
the
praised
bonus
for the others. No.
Or the benefits.
Voluntarily, you have to serve the people.
Yes.
It is called ikhlas, just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even sometimes, for example, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the beginning of the Islam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always being attacked by the enemies, being the people made fun of him, annoyed him, disturbing him. But he always consistently, actually, he served the people.
That's
so. This is the lifestyle of the Prophet that should be adopted by the Muslim who is a mukhlis, who is sincere.
Okay. And without sacrifice and the concept of isar, it is impossible to reach a true jihad, or it's better to say to apply true jihad in your life. What kind of sacrifice is this? Because, you know, in the jihadist look, in the ISIS format, they have sacrificed themselves, it's better to say. For example, through bomb attack or suicide attack or something like that, and they consider it as a sacrifice for the path of Islam, in order to save Islam. But what does it mean when we say sacrifice or isar in the true sense of the jihad?
Well, obviously, in the case of ISIS, even I don't see that sacrifice which you have defined.
Okay.
The reason
no,
is...
No, they themselves believe. No,
the reason is that when you look at the ISIS or the concept of, you know, the Pakistani Taliban that
yes.
we have, or the terrorist groups that we have, if you do not accept them, if you are, you know, you're not, your opinions are not exactly what they say, they do not give you the permission of living, you know, they take your lives. That's why we saw that ISIS has killed the Sunnis, they have killed the Shias, they have killed the Christians. No matter the person was, you know, same in the belief with them, like, for example, if it was a Sunni and ISIS were Sunni,
yes,
it wasn't matter for them. The main thing was that they wanted to everyone follow them and everyone to believe in them and everyone to become servants of them, the way they say. This is not the sacrifice that Allah has said in the Quran or jihad. This wasn't the style of the Prophet, because
yes.
Prophet, when someone was disagreeing with the Prophet, the punishment was not death. It was giving him more awareness.
Yes.
It was acknowledging him. It was telling him. Even about the kuffar, there was a zim. There was like kuffar or zimmi. They used to give a tax, a specific tax.
Jizya. Yes.
And it wasn't, the punishment wasn't the death.
Yes.
So for the ISIS, I will disagree with this, that they have sacrificed the meaning which
okay.
we are using, because they're doing everything for their own, you know, according to their
benefits.
Own desires or benefits.
Okay.
This is not the Islamic view at all.
Yes.
On the other hand, when we talk about the sacrifice, what does it mean and what kind of sacrifice? It means that, first of all, when we talk about the ikhlas, is to color yourself the way of Allah's color, Sibghatullah, like it is the verse which is used in the Quran, which means that, you know, your actions, your clothing, your way of talking, it should be in a way that it tells that he is a Muslim, for example.
Yes.
He is colored the way Allah wanted to him. He observes the justice. He observes the, you know, the rights of the others. He takes care about the community. On the other hand, when we talk about the sacrifice, types of sacrifice, is that you do not think about yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the others.
Okay.
This is the main concept or the principle of living in a society. If we want to have a peaceful society, rather than thinking about myself as it is in the capitalism, the ideology of thinking about yourself, maximizing your own profit, and just think about yourself, your own power, it's not about that in Islam. Islam, when talks about the spirit of jihad, it means that you need to think about others first.
Yes.
You need to give importance to the others. When you give importance to the others, then you give importance to yourself.
That's right.
For example, to bring the minds closer, when a couple, they marry, you know, the husband and wife, the couple is, you know, they are successful,
yes,
in living together when they think about each other, when they give importance to each other. You know, if the husband is giving more importance to the wife, he does not impose whatever he thinks always. He does the, you know, discussion, he gets the ideas from the wife, or if there is a dispute, he gives right to the wife. On the other hand, we see that the wife is also doing the same thing with the husband. So it's a mutual understanding that we say. So basically, they are having a jihadi, we can say, spirit in the house, where they sacrifice their own interests, their own taste, their own, you know, priorities over the others, and they give importance to the others. So this is one of the things that
That's
we can
right.
see.
Okay.
And in the society, if we have people who take care of the others right, who give importance to the others, we can see that society reaches to the peace, that society is a peaceful place to live. The people, they are very much bound with each other, they respect each other. And this is what Islam talks about. This is the jihadi, we can say, spirit, or
That's
the
right.
isar, or the sacrifice. And this will result in having a peaceful and good society.
Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of jihad and how to improve this spirit of jihad in ourselves. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump has described the 2024 election as the final battle from a podium in Waco, Texas. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Donald Trump, the former US president, continued to invoke retribution and violence on Saturday, 25th of March, when he used the first rally of his 2024 election campaign to raid against prosecutors weighing a criminal charge against him. Efforts by Trump's team to steer a more conventional, disciplined candidacy have wilted in recent days as the 76-year-old unleashed words and images that, even by his provocative standards, are unusually dehumanizing, menacing, and dangerous. He opened the rally by playing a song, Justice for All, that features a choir of men imprisoned for a role in their 6th of January 2021 insurrection, singing the national anthem, intercut with Trump reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Donald Trump stood solemnly on a podium with hand on heart, and footage from the Capitol riot was shown on big screens, and U.S. flags billowed in the wind. That song tells you a lot because it's number one in every single category, he told a crowd of thousands of people. Number two was Taylor Swift, number three was Miley Cyrus. The choice of location for a rally was also striking. Waco, a city in Texas, exactly 30 years after a 51-day standoff and deadly siege between law enforcement and the Branch Davidians that resulted in the deaths of more than 80 members of the religious cult and four federal agents. It came with Donald Trump facing the prospect of becoming the first president in U.S. history to be indicted. A grand jury in New York investigating a hush money payment to the film star Stormy Daniels, who alleges an affair with Trump, a claim that he denies. Trump falsely predicted his own arrest on Tuesday last week and called for protests without adding that they should be peaceful. On his Truth Social platform, he warned of potential death and destruction if he is eventually charged. He also used increasingly racist rhetoric as he launched ever more personal attacks against Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney, raising fears that supporters could try to lash out on his behalf. Donald Trump even shared an image of himself holding a baseball bat next to a picture of Alvin Bragg. Hakeem Jeffries, a Democratic minority leader in the House of Representatives, said, "The twice-impeached former president's rhetoric is reckless, reprehensible, and irresponsible. It's dangerous, and if he keeps it up, he's going to get someone killed." On Friday, a powdery substance was found with a threatening letter in a mailroom at Alvin Bragg's offices in New York. Officials later determined the substance was harmless. Yet at Saturday's rally at Waco Airport in Texas, there was little sign of Trump heeding the warnings and cooling off. Behind him, supporters held signs that said, "Witch hunt, I stand with Trump and Trump 2024. The 45th president repeated his false claim that the 2020 presidential election was rigged, praised the rioters of 6th of January 2021, and raged against the weaponization of law enforcement, branding the prosecutors overseeing multiple investigations into his conduct as absolute human scum. The website of Al Jazeera Television Network has also covered this story. Former U.S. President Donald Trump has held the first rally of his 2024 presidential campaign in Waco, Texas, railing against prosecutors investigating him and employing dark and conspiratorial language to fire up his base ahead of next year's Republican primary elections. Donald Trump, facing potential indictment, opened Saturday's rally by playing a song, Justice for All, that features a choir of men imprisoned for their role in the 6th of January 2021 insurrection at the United States Capitol, singing the national anthem and a recording of Trump reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Some footage from the insurrection was shown on big screens at the rally in Waco. In his speech, Trump defended the insurrectionists, saying they will be vindicated, and described the investigations swirling around him as something straight out of the Stalinist Russia horror show. From the beginning, it's been one witch hunt and phony investigation after another, he said. Donald Trump is being investigated by prosecutors in Manhattan for campaign finance violations stemming from his alleged payment of hush money to a film actress ahead of the 2016 presidential election. A special counsel appointed by the Department of Justice is also investigating allegations that he hoarded top-secret documents and masterminded a plot seeking to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Trump declared on Saturday that his enemies are desperate to stop us and our opponents have done everything they can to crush our spirit and to break our will. But they failed, he said. They've only made us stronger, and 2024 is the final battle. It's going to be the big one. You put me back in the White House, their reign will be over, and America will be a free nation once again. Trump held his rally at the airport grounds in Waco, Texas, as the city marked the 30th anniversary of a raid by federal agents on the Branch Davidians religious sect that resulted in 86 deaths, including four law enforcement officers. Many right-wing extremists see the raid as a seminal moment of government overreach, and critics saw the rally's timing as a nod to Donald Trump's far-right supporters. Donald Trump's campaign insisted the location and timing of the event had nothing to do with the Waco siege or its 30th anniversary. The Associated Press has also covered this story and tells us more. Facing a potential indictment, Donald Trump took a defiant stance at a rally Saturday in Waco, Texas, disparaging the prosecutors investigating him and predicting his vindication as he rallied supporters in a city made famous by deadly resistance against law enforcement. With a hand over his heart, Donald Trump stood at attention when his rally opened with a song called Justice for All, performed by a choir of people imprisoned for their role in the 6th of January 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Some footage from the insurrection was shown on big screens displayed at the rally site as the choir sang the national anthem and a recording played of Trump reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. The extraordinary display opened Trump's first rally of his 2024 Republican presidential campaign. He then launched into a speech brimming with resentment and framed the probes, including a New York grand jury investigation, as political attacks on him and his followers. "You will be vindicated and proud," Donald Trump said. "The thugs and criminals who are corrupting our justice system will be defeated, discredited, and totally disgraced." Trump's event at the airport grounds in Waco, Texas, was part of a broader effort by the former president to use the potential indictment as a rallying cry for supporters to maintain his status as the Republican front-runner in what is expected to be a crowded primary. It came just one day after Trump raised the specter of violence should he become the first former president in U.S. history to face criminal charges. Donald Trump declared his innocence in the Manhattan investigation into a hush money payment made during the 2016 election to an actress, Stormy Daniels, to keep her from going public about an affair she said she had with Trump years earlier. A grand jury hearing the case is expected to meet again on Monday. Donald Trump said the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, was investigating him for something that is not a crime, not a misdemeanor, and not an affair. Some of Trump's recent rhetoric, including at the rally, has echoed language he used before the Capitol insurrection by a mob of his supporters seeking to stop transfer of power to Joe Biden, who won the presidential election. Trump's eyebrow-raising choice of venue in Waco, Texas, for his first rally came amid the 30th anniversary of a 51-day standoff and deadly siege between U.S. law enforcement and the Branch Davidians that resulted in the deaths of more than 80 members of the religious cult and 4 federal agents, and has become a touchstone for far-right extremists and various militia groups. Trump's campaign insisted the location and timing of the event had nothing to do with the Waco siege and anniversary. A spokesperson said the site, 17 miles from the Branch Davidian compound, was chosen because it was conveniently situated near 4 of the state's biggest metropolitan areas, Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, and San Antonio. Texas's Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said before Donald Trump's arrival that he was the one who had suggested Waco as the venue for the rally.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio.